Tappers, what's going on? It is Monday, December 17th. It is Elimination Monday. Yes, the Green Bay Packers are no longer in the run for the playoffs. The Chicago Bears have clinched the NFC North, and it is on to 2019. Hope everybody's doing all right. You got to look at the positives. You got to look at the fact that most of us, your holiday break starts on the 21st, just like college kids, adults. If you play your PTO right and you don't have a demon for a boss, you have some time off next week. So you get some time off. Holidays coming around perfectly on a Monday and a Tuesday. So look at the bright side and feel good. Feel good about what's about to happen. So we will break down the Packers-Bears game. We'll talk about what to look forward to in the last two games of the season. And then also discuss the Bucks and what's going on with them. Heading into Packers-Bears today, I felt pretty good about the Packers' chances. I said on the podcast, I thought that they could do enough to beat the Chicago Bears. And you know what? To be honest, they had it. I mean, they could have won this game. Unfortunately, Aaron Rodgers did not play very well. And it's something we've seen all season with Aaron Rodgers is his mechanics, his everything just does not look right. And it continues to be a bugaboo for the premier quarterback of the league. And there are some who are saying, well, how good is Aaron Rodgers? Leroy Butler of The Fan said that Aaron Rodgers got outplayed by Mitch Trubisky, and how good is he? And that's going to be a topic on their radio station, which, I mean, for all intents and purposes, go ahead. But Aaron Rodgers is still a great quarterback. I don't think we can say that he isn't, right? But I do think we can wonder just what is needed to fix Aaron Rodgers. Is it the offense? Is it the play calls? Is it the mechanics? I mean, there were a couple. I mean, he should have hit Randall Cobb or Valdes-Scantling on a deep ball 4-6, and it should have been 21-14 at one point. Now, granted, that drive was terrible. Green Bay, two bombs, you know, on your 25, you kind of like, what the fuck are you doing? You just need 10 yards. There, again, we've seen it multiple times on the road this year. The Packers' detail breakdown, their execution breaks down, and that's what happened again on Sunday. The Packers really did not look well prepared for this game. They missed way too many tackles in the first half. They could not force any sort of turnover. They did not. I don't know if they sacked Trubisky. I think they may have got him once or twice, but they had opportunities to sack him all over the place. And yet, instead, they were, you know, they let the Bears sort of dictate the game. If it's not for Matt Nagy's foolishness, where he tries to fake it on special teams, he fumbles the football down in their red zone, you know, the Bears probably run away with this game. This game probably isn't even close at the end. But instead, the Packers, you know, made it at least the game. Davante Adams continues to show out. I thought, you know, Jason Spriggs, he's not a good offensive lineman, right? But he did okay against Khalil Mack. I wouldn't say it was the best ever, but he held his own against a guy who's very, very good. And, you know, and not having Aaron Jones all game hurt, even though the Bears are really tough against the run, it, you know, not having Aaron Jones out there is awful. And, this Packers team, I know that we want to point the finger at Aaron Rodgers. We want to say that Aaron Rodgers is the problem. Look, I'm not saying that Aaron Rodgers isn't the problem, all right? I think Aaron Rodgers has some things to work on. I think this is the first year in a long time where Aaron Rodgers needs to look himself in the mirror and say, you're not the same quarterback that you were, and you have to adjust, or you're going to keep doing this shit for the next few years. And whether it is the fact that he just did not practice for weeks on end and the connection just wasn't there with the receivers, or they need to add a veteran, I really think the lack of practice really hurt the unity with Rodgers, Valdes-Scantling, Quinnemus St. Brown, and Jamon Moore, who doesn't really see the field. But a lot of the young guys, I don't think had enough time to work with Rodgers. I think it would be great to see Rodgers get sort of the, you know, all the young guys together over the offseason and work together, kind of what Brady used to do, get them out to California and just work with all of them in the offseason. I really think that would be great. But yes, I do think Rodgers has some of the blame, but I don't think we've made enough about how many injuries this Packer team has had. This Packer team started out the season pretty damn healthy, where it was like, well, they're healthy, there's no real excuse. And then around the Rams-Patriots game, kind of in that area, you just started seeing people drop like flies. And it hasn't stopped. And so to act like this Packer team is 100% is so not true. I mean, yes, they traded Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. But look, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix has been awful with the Redskins. If you saw the viral video last week where he's running away from Saquon Barkley instead of fucking tackling him, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was a liability. Don't get that twisted. But you didn't have Kevin King all down the stretch. Kat, that's a major loss to your secondary. You didn't have the ghost of Nick Perry. That actually was a plus. You lost Mike Daniels after the Seattle game. You lost Kenny Clark for the game today. No Aaron Jones today. Brian Bulaga's been hurt way more than he's been healthy. And so I really think that not enough was made about the injuries, because we're also worried about Mike McCarthy. We're also worried about Aaron Rodgers. We're not necessarily focusing on the fact that this team was very banged up and they did not have the depth to really compete at that level being banged up. You look at an Eagles team who beat the Rams Sunday evening, and they are banged up to all holy hell, but they have a little depth to them. So they're able to survive, and now they've all of a sudden put themselves in a chance to potentially shock the world and get in the playoffs. Crazy as that sounds. So I really do think that there is blame to go around to everybody, but Rodgers deserves some of it, and definitely the defense. I think today there were just way too many missed tackles, especially early on in this game. I really think the Packers could have made this game a lot closer, and I think they could have had more of a chance to win. And again, Mark Tauscher pointed this out. By the way, Mark Tauscher, just a quick side, great analyst. To me, he's the best in Milwaukee right now from an analyst. He does such a good job. But he made the point that, like, the Packers have in every game on the road, they've lost all of them, mind you, folks, but they've had the ball in the fourth quarter tied it. And they, each of those times, they have went 3-and-out. That's all you need to say. It's like, the thing with me, what I wondered about with Packers, and I've wondered it more and more as a team trailing, is like, they do not know how to play from behind. Like, they run out of plays. It's like, all right, well, I guess we're out of plays. I guess we have to do something else. Like, they just don't keep coming at you. And that's what that new coach needs. I will say, if you want one real positive from this, besides maybe that the high draft pick, the one real positive from this game is that I don't think you can really make a case that Joel Philbin deserves to be the head coach. If Packers go out and they win the next two games, and so they're 7-8-1, I still don't, I don't think that just immediately crowns Joe Philbin's ass. Like, Joe Philbin, I realize the players really like him, I get it, but they need to do something different. There really needs to be a shakeup. I know Andrew Brandt hit on the fact that, like, they're not going to get anyone outside of the Packer realm. Well, how good is that doing for you? Where are you going to hire? You need to look at a guy who's ready to take Aaron Rodgers in and really start working with him and doing more of the stuff. And someone who's going to doing more of this stuff. I was like, oh, what's that mean? But what it means is that it's just getting back to the basics. And Aaron Rodgers needs to get a guy who's going to listen, who's going to be there, and who's going to work with him. And there's not going to be that many egos. And it's just going to be guys talking football. I really think a young guy could work out for Rodgers. The more I've thought about it, the more I really think, I don't think there's a respect thing. I don't think it's like a teacher student. I think, and our guy Murph has brought this up, I think he could see a young coach like a Lincoln Riley, a Matt LaFleur, who, being sort of like a buddy, being sort of the guy that he goes to with stuff. Now, I'm not going to say that he'll give him preferential treatment, but I do think that that would really help Rodgers out and maybe make him more apt to listening and a collaboration between the coach and the quarterback. All right, so now you wonder, what do we do with the last two games of the year? They play the Jets, who are 4-10. The Jets are hoping, you know, keep losing and drive that tank into the ground. And then they play the Lions, who lost, who are 5-9. Part of me thinks the Packers really want to beat the Lions. And I'll say this because I don't think you want to lose four straight games against the Lions. I do not know the last time the Packers lost four straight against the Lions. I will not look it up. I will later after the show, but like hasn't happened in a long, long time. I have to think there's a little bit of pride. You could also end the season undefeated at home. That would be a nice little thing. And maybe that's partly why Aaron Rodgers is thinking about playing these last two games. I think there's a sense of Aaron Rodgers wanting to sort of leave on a high note, and he wants to, and maybe he wants to show out for Joe Philbin. That's something that I think we have to consider, right? Jason Woolley brought this up last week about how these guys are so like in deep with Philbin, and that Philbin's their guy, and they want Philbin to stay. That I think you're going to see a lot of guys not wanting to tank out the season. I think Rodgers really wants to play. I think Dr. McKenzie's going to tell him, hey, look, I think you should take these 2 weeks off. I think you should get yourself right, get yourself healthy. But I don't think Rodgers wants to do that. I think part of it is the contract. I think there's a lot there where he wants to say, I'm not a prima donna. I'm playing these games out. I think there's a section of Packer fans that will respect him. There's another section of Packer fans that will wait on bated breath. I think that is a huge discussion with Packer fans right now, and it's going to be one that I think will be a top topic today on the local radio. And I would personally like to sit Rodgers and let Kizer play out the last two games, see what you got in Kizer. Maybe you could increase a trade value if Kizer shows out in these last two games. And you know, if you lose them, you're going to get a top 10 draft pick, and that would be great for the back. And I think that's something Green Bay has to consider, is that, and I know what I said about, you know, the draft picks. I said it last week after they beat Atlanta. I said, there isn't much from 8 to 18. I really do still think that's true. I think the draft's, you know, full of defensive line talent, and it's going to be moving and shaking all over the place. And even though that defensive linemen are the best players on the board, there are still teams who do not need defensive linemen, who need offense, and that they're going to overdraft an offense when they're not taking the best player on the, you know, board. And the fact the Packers have multiple picks means they can move their way back in. So losing these last two games wouldn't be a skin off my ass, but at the same time, I realize that the Packers could essentially move themselves back up and have the ability to do it. I know there is a mentality about just lose and call it, but I don't know. I don't think that's what the Packers want to do. I really don't. I wonder if there will be some conversations with Cobb, with Rodgers, about where they really sit for the rest of the year. And I really think all that you can hope for this team is that you see some things out of young guys. You know, last year in these sort of last two meaningless games, it was very similar. Rodgers didn't play in those, mostly because he was coming back from a collarbone injury out of sheer luck to try to play against Carolina, which didn't really work out well. But you saw Reggie Gilbert show through. You saw some other little things. You know, Tyler Lancaster really played well today in Kenny Clark's absence. Will Tyler, you know, can Lancaster continue it up and continue to work in that middle? That would be great to see. He's a guy I would definitely pay attention to. I would pay attention to Jason Spriggs. I think this is a big kind of last couple weeks for Jason Spriggs. I doubt Bulaga plays the rest of the season. And Spriggs could, you know, really make a case against two decent pass rushes in New York and Detroit. I don't think there's any way Spriggs is a starter next year, but he could at least make a case that he's a, you know, sixth man on the offensive line if he plays well. So we'll see. We'll see what Spriggs could do. Those are probably the two guys I'm paying the most attention to. I'd like to see Jamerson out there, see what Nate Trell could do out in the safety position. We've seen a little bit of Eddie Pleasant, who's been all right. Fidel Brown had a couple big plays in the second half. So, and again, the last couple weeks will be just for those sort of pops, like, could anyone pull it together? Another guy I'd like to see is Robert Tyon. I said this last week, and again, holds true after a ball hit his hands for the clinching interception. Jimmy Graham should be on IR. Just take the rest of the year off. Let Tyon play. I really like Tyon. I think he could be a really good player. It'd be fun to see him. Oh, and how could I forget Jake Kumerow? Another guy that's worth sort of the eyeballs of the last 2 weeks of the season. All right, moving on to the Bucks. They have a big old week. So the Bucks play Detroit tonight. We'll talk about it on Daily Tap tomorrow. Tough place to play. Bucks usually don't play well against the Pistons in Detroit, and the Pistons have been a very good team on the home court this year. They beat the Celtics on Saturday night there, ending a long losing streak. So we'll see if the Bucks can get it done. We'll see if they have Middleton and Brogdon back. Both had rests against the Cavs. Middleton's been in quite the shooting slump. He does always like to show out against his old mates. So there is that opportunity for Milwaukee in that regard. And then you have a really tough sort of three games and four nights. They go Pelicans at home. Anthony Davis will be in Milwaukee. Only trip for Davis. Definitely worth getting out to the Fiserv Forum if you get a chance. Pelicans also have been god-awful on the road this year. So something where the Bucks could take advantage. Then they go to Boston for a big showdown with the Celtics. That's ESPN. And then a back-to-back in Miami. Do not catch the Miami flu, my dear Bucks. But they don't really have the opportunity to catch the Miami flu because they'll be probably getting in around like midnight, 1 o'clock. I mean, granted, Miami doesn't sleep. You could go out right then and there. But that's pretty fucking reckless if you do that. And we've seen Bud has no patience for hangovers. The Heat have not been that good this season. That's a game you kind of need to win, but I do understand it. Three games and four nights is never really easy. So it's a tough week, but you'd like to see 2-2 at worst, hopefully 3-1. It'd be nice to see the Bucks string together some wins here, get themselves hot. They really haven't been a hot team of late. We haven't seen a real big winning streak. They haven't had a four-game winning streak since starting out the year 7-0. That's a little concerning, but I do call back to the fact they've had a really difficult schedule. They have not really had like a stretch where they're playing like Atlanta, Brooklyn, Chicago, New York. I mean, they get the Knicks twice here in the next week, and if they could kind of get something rolling here, that could really work out well. You do look at where the Bucks could take advantage. It's that next week. It's the Knicks twice, the Nets, the Pistons, the Hawks, and that's all at home after the Christmas Day game, which will be awesome, which I'm very excited for. How can you not be excited for Giannis on Christmas? Although I'm going to a house on Christmas Day where the guy absolutely despises the fucking NBA. So I may have to just tape that one for myself and watch later on in the day because I don't think he will have any part of putting Giannis on. His kid probably likes Giannis. So maybe, just maybe, I'll get the Bucks on Christmas. That'll be a good one to talk with our boy Mitch Pratt about on Tapping the Keg. We taped that Tuesday. That will be live on Wednesday. But yes, it would be nice to see some consistency from the Bucks. If it wasn't for Giannis yesterday on Friday, we would have probably seen a Bucks loss in Cleveland. They really needed a full Giannis game to win that one. Giannis had 44 and just really put the team directly on his back, which is sometimes needed. Sometimes you will. So we will be back for the Daily Tap tomorrow. We will rehash the Bucks Pistons. We'll also create a pseudo what we want to see kind of going forward. Not necessarily a playoff guide because we don't know yet, but what can we watch for in the 2 weeks? What bandwagons can we get on? Who are we riding with in the AFC or NFC? We'll break that down. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Hit me up, StoneTapWI on Twitter or on the Instagram. Who is your team now that the Packers are eliminated? Who is your team going forward? There are some candidates, man. There are definitely some candidates how you would do that. So it's not a rooting guide. It's rather which bandwagon are you getting on? I guess that is a rooting guide, but whatever. Fuck you guys. All right. Take care of yourselves. Have a great day. We'll talk tomorrow. All right. Peace out. Bye.